Today we're continuing our series on the games we play. And we're using the games we play to talk about the life we live. We are using games to talk about how we handle life. We talked about hide and go seek or hide and seek the first week and how sometimes we try to hide from God, even though we know that that is a silly attempt. Yet we try it anyways. But God's not someone that we should want to hide from anyways. We should want to embrace him and seek him as he wants to embrace us and seek us. Last week we talked about solitaire and how we're not called to live a solitaire life. But instead we're supposed to live life in community, and it's in community where we find unity. Jesus prayed for the church, for you and me, that we would be unified and be one. This morning, we're going to look at Angry Birds. Anybody familiar with Angry Birds? Okay. Anybody not familiar with Angry Birds? Okay. If you're not familiar with Angry Birds, Angry Birds started out, at least, as an app on your smartphone. It's a game on your phone. Nowadays, due to its popularity, there's Angry Bird merchandise. I think there's a Netflix show, and I know there's a movie that came out called Angry Birds. But the concept of Angry Birds is kind of simple, kind of ridiculous, but simple. A group of pigs have stolen the birds' eggs. The birds are angry. So players, using their finger and a virtual slingshot, they launch the birds into the air, crash on top of the pigs, and get their eggs. I told you, sounds ridiculous. It is. It's silly. The Angry Birds game has spawned countless spinoffs. There's now Angry Birds Star Wars, Angry Birds Seasons, Angry Birds Star Wars 2, Angry Birds Space. There's even Angry Birds Go, which is a racing version of the game. There's now more Angry Birds than you could ever dream or want. Angry Birds are flying all over the place. Now, I don't know about each of you, but most of my life, anger has not been one of my issues. I got plenty of issues, but anger has not been one of them. I know that for some of you, you cannot honestly say that. Anger is a real, legitimate, lifelong issue that you have dealt with. You are an angry bird. That's not been the case with me. However, I have found anger to be more of an issue in the 8 years since God has blessed me with being a father than in the previous 26 years of my life. Typically, as a husband, I don't get angry, usually. As a pastor, I don't get angry, usually. Just as a regular person, just regular Joe, I don't get angry. But as a parent, I find myself angry more than I care to admit. Maybe some of my moms and dads can give an amen. I don't know. Maybe I'm all by myself. And I know, here's what's going to happen. I know some of my more experienced moms and dads are going to tell me, just wait until they get older. Don't tell me that. Don't. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to entertain the idea of me getting angrier than sometimes I get today. And listen, I know that my kids, they're only 8, 5, and 3. They're just learning to navigate their little lives. We're trying to teach them rules and respect and boundaries and authority, and all they're doing is trying to push those boundaries. I get it. I know they're just little kids, and they're acting like little kids, and most of the things that I get upset about are so small and minuscule. But all I want for them to do is listen. Listen. Is that too much? Apparently. Is asking them to obey, too much to ask? Is cleaning up their stuff too much to ask? Is sharing their toys too much to ask? Apparently, all of them. It's just apparently so. And listen, I can't stand the way I feel when I get upset and angry at my kids. I can't stand it. I can't stand the way my body feels. I can't stand the way I act when I get angry. I hate the way my anger over my kids affects my relationship with my wife. I can't stand to think about what I am teaching my kids by the way I act when I get upset. I hate it. I hate being an angry bird dad. But I'm sure none of our moms and dads know what I'm talking about. That's just my way of making myself feel better to think about the fact that you also get angry. I don't think any of us really want to be an angry bird. None of us really want to live with anger. Jesus didn't want us to live with anger. He knew the devastating consequences of a life filled with anger. Listen again to what Jesus says. He says, "You've heard that it was said to people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Now notice, Jesus isn't really talking about murder. He's talking about anger. And Jesus is really talking about the heart. You see, Jesus realizes that an act like murder, which is an extreme case, starts in the heart. Most of the mess we deal with today and all the junk that we see on the news starts in the heart of individuals. And in order to change our actions and our behavior, we first have to deal with the heart. And anger is a tricky thing. It's almost impossible not to get angry at some point, right? I mean, becoming angry is not usually, not all the time, something that we can control. I can't control when my kids hear a command and then don't complete the project or whatever, and they do the complete opposite. I can't control that. Of course, that's going to make me angry. You can't control if a loved one deliberately or accidentally hurts you by their behavior. You can't control a boss making you stay late even though you're going to miss your child's performance. There are some things that are outside of our control that are going to make us angry. So I don't want you to hear this teaching of Jesus and then think about all the times you've gotten angry and then think you're going to hell. That's not the case. We can't always control getting angry, but we can control how long we stay angry and how we behave when we're angry. We may not have a say in getting to the point of anger, but we can have a say in how long we're going to stay angry. And the longer we stew in our anger, the more dangerous it gets, and the more harm we do to our physical selves and our emotional selves and to our relationships. See, Jesus' teaching on anger comes in what we know as a Sermon on the Mount, and next week's sermon comes from the Sermon on the Mount, and this is Jesus' first real big teaching to his followers and his disciples. And most of chapter 5 deals with human-to-human relationships. Jesus attempts to answer the question, how do we navigate this thing called life and do it peacefully with each other? And in our passage, 21 through 26, is Jesus' first real teaching on human-to-human interaction. And so when I read verses 21 and 22, I see Jesus revealing the standard. This is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. It's not filled with anger and strife and hate. There is no good that comes from our anger. There's no anger in God's kingdom. But Jesus knows that until God's kingdom is fully revealed and established, anger is going to still be present. Jesus knows that we're going to find ourselves angry at our wives, and our husbands, our children, our mothers and our fathers and our bosses and our friends. Jesus knew that his disciples would still deal with anger. And so what we see later on in 23 and 26 is an admission that we will get angry and that we do sometimes suffer through broken relationship, but these verses also tell us what to do when we find ourselves angry with each other. Again, we may not able to be able to control getting angry, but we can control how long we stay there. And Jesus tells us we aren't meant to be angry for long. In fact, Jesus says once you're truly aware of your anger, once you're truly aware of your hostility towards the other person, go and be reconciled to them. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't allow that anger to fester in you and to take control of you. Don't allow that anger to take control of your life. The sooner you can be reconciled with the other person, the better. And Jesus places a high priority on reconciliation. He places the importance of reconciliation above both worship to God and the law. In the first scenario Jesus uses, Jesus puts us at the altar of God. He uses the example of bringing a sacrifice to the altar of God, and as we're coming to worship God, because that's the form of worship, and so, and let's just change it a little bit. Let's say, hey, we're coming. We came here this morning. You sat down in your pew, and you heard the preacher talking about anger. That's what I'm doing. I don't know if you know that. Okay. And you were listening, and you were paying attention. And you realize that you're angry with somebody. Jesus says that we should leave the worship of God. Put down your sacrifice, put down your gift that you brought, and go and be reconciled to that person. And once that happens, then you can come back and worship. That's a big deal. Jesus essentially is saying two things. God doesn't want your worship if you have anger in your heart. The second thing is, you can't truly worship God if you have anger in your heart. Those two things can't go together. So Jesus says, go and be reconciled. The other scenario involves someone taking you to court. Never had to do that. Some of you may have. Jesus says, don't allow your broken relationship to get that far. Don't allow it to get to court. Before you even get to court, he says, on the way, if you and your adversary or whatever are on the way to court, go and be reconciled. Forget the law. Settle it yourself. Your anger isn't going to be dealt with by the court. The issue may be resolved legally, but your anger will still be there. Deal with it before it ever gets there. Go and be reconciled. One more thing. Whose responsibility is it to go and be reconciled? Who does Jesus give the command to go and be reconciled? Us. Us. We may be angry over something someone else has done. We may be angry over a situation that we had nothing to do with. We may be angry due to no fault of our own, yet Jesus puts the onus. He puts the burden of reconciliation on you and me. You know, anger and unforgiveness are of the same breed, right? Unforgiveness doesn't hurt the other person you won't forgive. You know, you may be thinking over here, I'm not going to forgive them, and by me not forgiving them, they are just soaking in punishment. Yep. Yep. That's the way I'm going to handle this situation. I'm going to get at them by not forgiving them. In reality, they have just continued on with their lives, and they don't have a clue. And it's you. You're the one stewing in that anger and unforgiveness. It only hurts you. I guarantee you, they're not even thinking about it. If we're going to stop being an angry bird, if we're going to remove the anger from our hearts, we are going to have to make the first step. And we need to make the first step soon, not later. So who do you need to go and be reconciled with? I hope everything is peaceful in your life. I hope you have no problems in your relationships. But the reality is, you probably got at least somebody that you're a little upset with. Who has God revealed to you this morning that you have anger in your heart with? As you think about that, I want you to take comfort and have hope this morning. Because here it is. God has already made the first step of reconciliation. If there is anyone in the world, in all of creation, that deserves to be angry, guess who it is? It's God, right? Because God's a holy God. He's a perfect God. He has every right to be angry with us, his creation, over our disobedience. Yet instead of anger, God showed love, and God made the first step of reconciliation with the gift of Jesus by sending his son to pay the debt that we owe because of our sin. Jesus paid it all on the cross so that we could be reconciled with God. So listen, when Jesus says go and be reconciled, he's like, guys, my Father's already showed you the way. Go and be reconciled. Perhaps God has been revealing to you as we've been worshiping together, maybe as I've been talking, some anger in your heart towards someone. Maybe you need to call someone as soon as you leave this place today and to begin the reconciliation process. Maybe you need to, you know, send a text. I know maybe that's not the best way to deal with it, but maybe it's the first step. Maybe you need to make a visit. Go to somebody's house. Go to their house. Go to their workplace. Don't wait. The more time that passes, the less likely you are to be reconciled and to get rid of the anger in your heart. Don't be afraid to make the first step, to make the first text, to make the first call. Remember, God was willing to make the first step with each of us, and he is with you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we know that anger is not supposed to be in our hearts. We also know sometimes we can't control it, but oftentimes we can. We can control how long we stay angry. We can control what we do with our anger. Father, some of us have some broken relationships, and anger is at the center of it. We've been stewing in our anger. Anger has sort of become like a little pet that we're dragging around. Father, help us to get rid of it, to be reconciled, to make that call, to make that visit. Say, hey, I forgive you. I'm no longer angry with you. Help us to realize that you have made the first step with us through Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.